It was the big one. The 16th one. The 16th birthday. And you know what happens when you turn 16. Usually the day after you're down at the DMV in line to get your take your test and get your license. Well, that was true for this young man. He went to his dad, though, and he said, well, now that I'm 16 and when I get my license, can I drive the family car? So dad said, well, son, driving a car requires discipline, requires maturity and responsibility. Look, you can drive the family car once you prove that you're ready. And I'll know that because I'll see three things. You've got to bring up your grades. Number two, you've got to read your Bible every day. And number three, I want you to get a haircut. Okay, says the 16-year-old. And of course, then a few weeks later, all the posting came out and all the grades were there. And the boy came back to his dad with a giant smile and he showed his dad all of his A's and his B's. Now, Dad, now, can I drive the family car? Oh, son, this is wonderful. This is great. You're a third of the way there. And he said, well, have you been reading your Bible? Oh, Dad, every day. Oh, son, that's marvelous. That means you're two-thirds of the way there. When are you going to get that haircut? And the boy thought, I'll outsmart my dad. Well, I don't see why I should cut my hair. After all, Jesus had long hair, right? Well, son, that's true. And Jesus walked everywhere he went. I think I told that one before, but... Jesus said, do not think that I have come to abolish the law. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. To make it realized, to have its full consequence. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth pass away, not one letter, not one stroke of the law will pass away until all is accomplished. And then, of course, Jesus goes on from there, just to make sure that they get the point, sort of lays out some examples, takes the whole conversation out of the abstract and puts it into the here and now and says, you've heard it said that those of ancient times you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a sister or a brother, you will be liable to judgment. And if you insult a brother or sister, you'll be liable to the council. And if you say, you fool, you'll be liable to the hell of fire. Yikes. And then Jesus goes on and starts to address all of the sort of fundamental and most intimate arenas of the human experience, way down deep into the ways that we actually behave, down into where there's debt or anger or insults and name-calling, family relationships, expectations for marriages, and all the rest. It's as if Jesus says to them, you know, Moses set the bar right here. But what? I set the bar here. If you look at women with lust, you've committed adultery in your heart. So poke out your eye. Better to go to heaven with one eye than have your whole body on fire. And your hand, if your hand causes you to sin, well, just cut that baby off. Better to go to heaven with just one arm than to have your whole body aflame. You know, I'm just shrinking. It seems so impossible. Jesus, we wanted you to liberate us from all this burden. We wanted you to save us from the weight of these hard things. At least give us a break. Can I have a mulligan, you know? I said at the top that the confirmation kids are working on the Ten Commandments, and I suppose there's about 20 of them. And they're all 12 and 13 years old, and believe it or not, they know these commandments pretty well. I thought about organizing a kind of a contest. I think they would beat you. I really do. They know all 10 of them. They not only understand and can recite them and put them in their sequence, in their order, but I think they also appreciate their value. They also understand their utility. They see in those commandments the life-giving impulse that they represent. Every couple of years, we do the exercise. We have a great big bag of mouse traps. Have I told you about this? And we hand out to each of the students a mouse trap, and they have to set it. And inevitably, you know, somebody gets their thumb whacked hard, or they end up with bruises, and they realize that these are probably pretty serious little devices. But eventually, as they get them all set, we have them place them out in the middle of the floor, out in the middle of the room. So they're there like a minefield, you know? And then we ask for a volunteer. And usually one of the boys strides forward, ready to go. And we ask him, well, go ahead, cross the room. Go ahead, walk through this minefield between these mouse traps. Oh, easy peasy, right? And they do. Well, I'll come on back here. And then we ask them to take off their shoes and try it barefoot. Oh, okay, and a little bit more carefully, they make their way across. Then the third time, okay, come back over, and we'll try it one more time, but this time we're going to do it with a blindfold. That's usually when the volunteer quits. Why? That's a good way to break a toe. What if that floor with mouse traps is the way life really is? That there's lots and lots of places to get hurt. Lots and lots of ways to stumble into something that will cause damage. Isn't the benefit and the gift of the commandments is that they are like flags? They're like signposts in all the places where your life could find harm? Don't lie. It's a great way to have people not trust you. Stop committing murder. Stop hitting each other. It's a good way to have the whole thing unravel, right? Do you see? The law is not about God's prudishness. The law is not about God's longing to keep us from having too much fun or to sort of limit our freedom. No, it's instead intended as a gift to ensure our freedom. The law is a sign of God's deep and abiding love for us all. In the old days, the rabbis would have said that the 10 words, these commandments, this law of God, Torah, that would be proof that you are the favored people of God. You know, you could say, how do you know you're a child of God? Well, do you have the 10 commandments? Well, good. You must be a child of God, right? It makes sense when you think about it, because if we weren't loved by God, why would God bother? If we weren't loved and cherished by God, why give the gift? Why instead not just decide to lean back and watch the whole thing unravel? But God didn't do it that way. God wouldn't do it that way. God's beloved ones are too important and too precious. God's beloved and important ones are, well, there's too much at stake to allow just lawlessness to have the last word. The law matters. The law matters because life matters. The law matters because life has value and life has purpose. It's worth knowing and keeping and loving the law. But that's not all there is to it, is it? Have you ever been to Oklahoma or Tennessee, Louisiana? A couple hands have maybe gone up. They talk differently. Have you noticed that? I'll be honest with you. I'll confess, I probably, whenever I hear a Southern accent, I probably roll my eyes a little bit. I get all kind of smug and ugh. Because sometimes the way they speak sounds, I don't know, simple to me. But I tell you what, I've learned something recently. There's a convention of speech in the South, a manner of speaking that is very useful. When I say to you a second person pronoun, what part of that, what you know what part of speech that is? What is a second person pronoun? It's you. Go ahead, say you. Ready? You. All right. Now, think about how they say that in the South. Now, you just made a leap there. You may not be aware of it, but think about this. There is a distinction between a second person pronoun that's singular and one that's plural. If I mean you, Lee, I'll say you. If I mean all the people sitting in this section, then I would say y'all. Do you see the difference? Do you see how that part of speech gets used? Now, Moses and Jesus, they were not from Oklahoma or Louisiana or Tennessee, but their original language has that distinction built in. There's a way to say in Hebrew, a way to say in Aramaic, the second person pronoun, plural. It's a word that's used here in this Sermon on the Mount. Y'all have heard that it was said to those of ancient times, y'all shall not murder. Whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to y'all that if you are angry with a brother or sister, y'all will be liable to judgment. You see the difference? The way that that text comes to life? So what difference does it make? The law not only is a gift to me, but it's a gift to y'all. And it shapes and it guides and it energizes and sustains and empowers the community. It is about y'all. It is about us together. This word drives us back to neighbor. This word drives us back to one another. It drives us back to the outsider. Our choices and our behavior and our values are oriented around the well-being of other people, not myself. Joel Osteen wrote a book in 2015 that I think is still on the New York Times bestseller list. It's called Your Best Life Now, 7 Steps to Your Full Potential. You can get it on Amazon Prime for a buck and a half, I think. But I wonder if instead of a title like Your Best Life Now, wouldn't we read one that says Your Neighbor's Best Life Now? That the compass points there before it points to me? God, this loving parent, God, this creator of all, the sustainer and redeemer of all humanity. Frank was 8 years old, and he started an argument with his sister. And pretty soon there was shouting and pushing, and ultimately Frank had his little sister down on the floor, and he had his fist cocked high above her head, ready to pound her. And it was at that moment that Mom came in the room, and what did she say? No, stop. And Frank, with all the might and arrogance that an 8-year-old can muster, said, "She's my sister, and I can do anything I want to her." It took Mom less than a second to cross the room and stand over the boy, and she said, "She's my daughter. No, you can't." Do we need the law? God loves us so much that He would show us how to live. God loves us so much that He would show us where not to walk. God loves us so much that y'all, we might love one another. Amen.